You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just think it's important that people who are not minorities...
This woman was telling anybody that would listen that her son was terminally ill with leukemia.
Stay down!
I really need this.
You have been tweeting me.
Epic fail.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And every night through the looking glass we go, where truth is our bitch. Details are emerging of a study by U.S. scientists who intentionally inflicted Guatemalans with syphilis. And there is a connection to the Tuskegee experiments. And there is a desire on the part of the Guatemalan authorities to bring this to the attention of the world court as a crime against humanity, and they got a case. CNN's Rick Sanchez takes on Jon Stewart and Jews in the media, and guess what? Now he's out of a job, and we're going to be talking tonight with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about that. In fact, Ted Bell and Dave Oliva will be joining us. Dave Oliva talking about texting in movie theaters and what we can do about that. Also, I think Jay Sanos is going to be with us on that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We also have a Dr. Green Thumb report for you tonight. And our affiliate spotlight is on Charlotte, North Carolina, WBCM, 1660 AM, and in Chico, California, KZAP, 96.7 FM on your dial. So this evening we are going to be talking with Ted and with Dave Oliva, and the very first order of business, I guess, is to talk to Ted about this situation with Rick Sanchez. I called him Rich Sanchez, but we have to get Ted on the line, and I don't know whether you have him yet or not. Bud's going to get him up, and when he does, because I know it's a very, very busy evening there at the restaurant, we're going to talk to him. Have you got that yet? All right, he's standing by. All right, Ted Bell, folks, from Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, Ted, you there?
I apologize, Phil. We do have a very, very busy night tonight. Welcome, everybody. I'm Ted Bell. I'll be with you just a moment.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Busy night tonight?
It's pretty busy, yeah. It's gratifying. You know, here it is, the end of September, the beginning of October, and you know, a lot of kids are back in school, and families are hunkering down now, Phil, and getting out of summer mode and getting more into autumn mode and the back to school and so on. So to see as many people out tonight as we've got, we're very, very gratified.
We got you on tonight, Ted, to talk about Rick Sanchez. And his departure from CNN, I know you knew him and know him, and as do I. And so we're not here to bash Rick.
No, not at all. I think Rick is a terrific guy, and I'm so sorry to see what happened. I understand partially through the reports that he had made some comments on a radio interview he did. And it's very difficult. I can tell you, we deal with that all the time here.
All right. Well, why don't we, before we get into any kind of a discussion about, you know, how we feel about it. I do have some audio of Rick Sanchez talking. This is the interview that he did, I believe, on Radio Today. He was on Sirius. Was it today or yesterday? I forget when it was. But in any event, when did he make these comments? I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was Thursday.
All right. Here is Rick Sanchez as he recounts an incident at CNN where he says he can we get this screen out of my face? Thank you. Where he experienced racism.
But deep down, when they look at a guy like me, they see a guy automatically who belongs in the second tier and not the top tier.
Because you're Cuban?
Because
American?
I had a guy who works here at CNN who's a top brass come to me one day and say, you know what? I don't want you anchoring anymore. I really don't see you as an anchor. I see you more as a reporter. I see you more as a John Quiñones. You know, the guy on ABC? That's what he told me. He told me he saw me as John Quiñones. Now, did he not realize that he was telling me, when I see you, I think of Hispanic reporters? Because in his mind, I can't be an anchor. An anchor's what you give the high-profile white guys, you know? So he knocks me down to that and compares me to that. And it happens all the time.
Here is Sanchez's take on Comedy Central host Jon Stewart, implying the host is a bigot for surrounding himself with other Jews.
I think Jon Stewart's a bigot.
Jon Stewart's a bigot. Hold on. Now we're going to get into it. Jon Stewart, my old boss, my friend.
Yeah, I think he's a bigot.
How is he a bigot?
I think he looks at the world through his mom, who was a school teacher, and his dad, who was a physicist or something like that. Great. I'm so happy that he grew up in a suburban, middle-class New Jersey home with everything that you could ever imagine.
What group is he bigoted towards?
Everybody else who's not like him. Look at his show. I mean, what does he surround himself with?
But listen, he picks on Jews all the time. He's a Jew.
Yeah.
Okay, Sanchez doesn't believe Jews are a minority because they run media networks like CNN.
I just think it's important that people who are not minorities understand that those of us who are, and very few of us will say the things that I've just said, are actually more complex than they think we are, and we get
them. Stewart's a minority, as much as you are.
Come on. How is he a minority? Yeah.
Rick.
Very powerless people.
Whoa.
But you're such a minority. I mean, you know, please. What are you kidding?
You're telling me that...
I'm telling you that everybody who runs CNN is a lot like Stewart. And a lot of people who run all the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority? Yeah.
Wow. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, it is a series of very, very foolish, and dare I say, stupid remarks. You can't say that and get away with it. I can tell you from my perspective, Bill, I am very tolerant with my employees. I let them say, but there's certain things that you can't say.
Well, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said stupid, because it's obvious he doesn't know much about Jewish people.
I don't know where to begin with that. It was...
He doesn't know a lot about Jewish people, where they're from, what they came through, why they have the jobs that they have. I guess you're not a minority if you have some level of success.
Well, I tell you, like I said, Bill, there's certain things you can't say. I'm an employer, and it's very interesting, and I'm glad we're talking about this. I'm an employer. And I've got people in my employ. I work in the restaurant business, so I've got servers, and I've got chefs, and I've got busboys, and I've got suppliers, and I've got valets. I've got all kinds of people. I have my office staff that work for me, and I allow them all the freedom in the world in the context of their job to be the people that they are. But there's certain things you can't do. You just can't do. Jon Stewart, or rather Rick Sanchez there, taking on the Jewish entertainment establishment such as it is, and you made a very good point, I think, in your pre-show when you said, you know, there may be a lot of Jewish people in the entertainment business, but it's not a closed club.
Well, that was the point. I mean, you can, yeah, there's a lot of Jewish guys there, and if some guy comes along who isn't Jewish and is good, you got a fast track to the top. It depends, I guess, on your talent, you know, I hope. I mean, I like to think.
But in my business, I try to, and I think in anybody's business, you let your employees say what they want to say to a point, you know.
Have you ever had anything like that?
Oh, well, nothing of a headline-provoking.
No, but I mean, have you ever had an employee say, I can't look past this?
Oh, yeah, we've had... employees. I had a food server here, a young lady who I was told had been, I guess she had been counting up the tips at the end of the day and was talking to some of the other waitresses. It was during the campaign, and she was going on about how she supported Obama. And I said that I wished I hadn't heard that, because she was such a great and very charming and gregarious young woman, and was great with the customers, but I had to fire her.
And well, why did you fire her? Did she say that in front of employees? She said...
Yes, she said it in front of employees.
No, but did she say it in front of customers?
No, this was at the end of the day. But it got back to the problem was it got back to me. And when I heard that she was a supporter of Obama's, naturally, I had to do that because I am at that time I was supporting McCain.
And but she didn't. Did this not affect her job?
It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. There are certain things you can't do. You can't do it. You knew Hector and I did. You remember Hector Escobar was one of our bartenders, and he was telling someone that he was Catholic. And he was doing this, and you were talking, you were asking me a moment ago about doing it on the job. He did this on the job. He did this on the job. He told one of the patrons that he was Catholic. And I found out about this later from, I think I found out about from Carol, who was one of the servers that night in the prime rib room. She said, Hector mentioned that he's Catholic to one of the people, one of the customers. And here's a kid that had worked for me for 10 years.
You fired him.
What do you? You've got to. You've got to.
You fired a food server for saying that she supported Obama, and you fired a bartender.
I fired Hector for saying that he was Catholic. And the reason why is because you let them walk up to a line. When you're working for someone, you can be the person that you are to a point. To a point. But you can't step over that line and do something so stupid that it forces my hand.
And all right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here, 877-876-PHIL. Talking with Ted Bell about the Rick Sanchez situation, and when do you fire an employee?
I'll tell you one thing, Bill. I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
I had one customer put this on her Facebook, that she was going to church the following Sunday. Now, you have the right to do that, but I have the right to fire a server for influencing that individual. You know,
this was a customer?
Who had been talking to, I think it was Hector, who had mentioned that he was Catholic, and he went to the Catholic church down here on Santa Monica, and here comes this customer now putting on Facebook, I talked to the bartender at Ted's of Beverly Hills, and he mentioned the Catholic church I'm going to. And the next day, I said to him, I was almost in tears, and he was in tears. And I said, for 10 years, you have been here with me. And I said to him, why? Why? But you've got to. And here is the customer going to church on a Sunday with one of my employees.
She was going to go to church with this guy.
Exactly. And you've got to draw the line. And that's what I did. And
so, Ted, we're talking about Rick Sanchez, though, getting fired for saying that Jews are not an oppressed minority. They don't have really any problems. And equating John Stewart with this sort of entitled group of people, which I think you and I have agreed is ignorant. You're talking about a woman who said she supported Obama and another guy who is said that he's taking someone to church? Or
no, it was a customer.
Oh, a customer who said that she was going to the same church that was recommended. And both of these people were fired.
They're fired, Bill, for the same reason Rick Sanchez was fired. They're fired because they opened their mouths and they said something you just don't do. Now, I'm telling you this as an employee. I'm responsible for 120 employees in my restaurant operation just in Beverly Hills alone. You don't ever open your mouth, even when you're counting up tips and talking to the other waitresses, you don't open your mouth and talk about Obama. And you never, ever, ever say you're Catholic and here's your church. Because what that does then is it gets on Facebook as it did, and all of a sudden, I have to deal with that. So, yes, Sanchez, he got fired for the same reason I fire people. You know, you've got to keep your mouth shut, and you've got to do your job, and you can't do certain things.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Ted Bell about how far an employee can go with their comments and how far they can't, and just what does an employer do when that individual has stepped over the line? Is it automatic, you're fired? Rick Sanchez fired after comments he made to a radio interviewer saying that Jews were, well, you know, they're no oppressed minority, ha ha. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, with me is Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're talking here about Rick Sanchez and the, this very unfortunate series of comments. I suspect, Rick, that a lot of people don't know what it is that I may be talking about or that you may be talking about when it comes to Rick Sanchez making these comments about Jews.
Whether they're right or whether they're wrong.
Well, I don't think they're right. I think his comment about how Jews, they're an oppressed minority. I think it bespeaks a stupidity that's beyond belief. Are Jews oppressed today? Oppressed in the sense that they can't get a bank loan, or they are kept out of certain jobs. Probably not, but they are viewed with a certain level of suspicion and hostility by a lot of people.
Well, the point, Bill, is that you can't, as an employee. I think what you're saying is great, but as an employee, you can't say things that your boss, since Rick Sanchez is talking about Jews, he's got Jewish bosses. When I've got a customer, when I've got a bartender saying he's Catholic, he's got a restaurateur who's his boss. I run a restaurant. Where does he get off talking about being Catholic, tending bar? Where does my waitress get off talking about Obama's health care plan around the other servers? Who do they think they are? And these are people that I loved and respected and had in my employment for years. So yes, I sympathize, but I still got to do what I got to do. CNN, they had no choice. I had no choice. When I heard that Hector looked at a customer across the bar and said, "Oh, by the way, I go to Mass down here in Santa Monica," and they said, "What do you mean by Mass?" I said, "I'm Catholic. I go to that Catholic church." I honest to God, I thought I was going to pass out. I felt pain in my left arm. That was the level of stress.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to get to a phone call here before we take a break, and more of your calls welcome. Here is Adam in Bloomington, Illinois. Adam, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. I've got some kind of, can we go remote? Can we get this call up remote, please? Can we put the call up remote, please? Adam, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick comment on the discussion about firing an employee for simply stating that they're a Catholic, or even an employee for talking about Obama. My question would be, is that because they disagree with your views? Being a business owner myself,
Are you asking me why? You're not questioning that I. You're not saying I have the right to do that, are you?
No, I'm just saying you have the right to do it, but I'm saying that were you firing somebody because they disagree with your views and they work for you, or because it was going to affect your business?
I'm not
going to
have them talking about that. I can't have them talking about that.
Okay.
During that period of time, I was supporting John McCain.
Was the server saying this around the customers?
No, let me stop. I'll start all over again with you guys. One of my employees came to me and said that they heard Carolyn saying that she liked Obama, and that came back to me. You understand?
Okay.
If she said it and the other people heard it and that's where it stayed, fine. But it got back to me, and I was stunned.
What were you stunned by?
That she would openly say she supported Obama under the roof of a place that I own.
Yeah, but there
so
was
here's
no.
My question to you as a business owner.
Yes, sir.
If you get close to the line, I mean, I'm guessing that you had some money invested in this person through training. You said she was one of your great employees. But
no, she's very good.
You would rather say that you're fired because she disagreed with one of your views. Now, I'm a staunch Republican myself, but I'm saying that if I had an employee that I invested time and money in just because they disagreed with my views, I would have a hard time firing them.
No, do you understand? But she's doing this knowing it's going to get back to you? See, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying to the gentleman, I'm saying to Adam, you're an employer, I'm an employer, you know, there are certain things employees don't do. I'm sure you agree. You know, there's a line you can't cross. There's a line you can't cross. She crossed the line. This guy talking about he's Catholic. You can't do it. I can't have it. And when she starts saying, oh, Obama, you know, and at that time it was very shocking. He was a black man. He was running for president. I'm supporting McCain, and I'm supposed to sit still for this woman saying, you know, Obama this and Obama.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here with Ted Bell as we talk about Rick Sanchez being fired. What can or can't you say?
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills as we continue talking this evening about the Rick Sanchez situation. And what does it mean for employers everywhere?
Ted's of Beverly Hills, Steakhouse, come on down.
Very much, Phil. I am Ted Bell, and come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We got a very busy night tonight, but we've got that slow-roasted, all-day cooked prime rib, and of course, especially the Porterhouse.
For two, right? The Porterhouse for two?
Oh, yeah. The Porterhouse for two, and I will tell you, I'll put our Porterhouse for two up against Ruth's Chris and against the other, whatever that other one is, the one that you talk up all the time.
I like Ruth's Chris is very good. I like your restaurant.
But what was the place you went to that you...
Morton's?
No, it's not Morton's. Are you kidding with Morton's? It was...
Well, I'll think of it. But we're back here with Ted Bell tonight.
I'm not here. I know everybody, and I think they all do a very good job, but...
All right, but we are talking about employees, and the Rick Sanchez situation here has a man sitting giving a live interview on radio and saying that CNN has, and broadcast networks all have... these kinds of people. He's clearly talking about the, you know, John Stewart's people, Jews, an oppressed minority. Nah, and he was laughing.
Right, and again, let's say he's right. I mean, I'm not saying he is, but let's just say for a moment that John Stewart, or excuse me, Rick Sanchez, is right that there are Jews running everything, and they're not an oppressed minority, and they've really pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. Let's say everything that Rick Sanchez is saying is right. He still doesn't have the power to say what he's saying because he's got that guy that he's criticizing ready to pull the plug. Now, in my case, I like to think of myself, Phil, and I say this with as much humility as I can, I like to think I'm a fair man.
Of course.
And I don't want to let people go. I want people to have a living. If they're good and I value them, I want them to stay here. But you cannot do what John Stewart did in full view, in broad daylight, and not expect to take some very, very serious, serious consequences. And you remember Jim Everhart. I told you about him. This was a guy that ran the valet for us. He walks in here one day. He says to, and I don't know if you remember the story from last week.
Well, it had to do with that. There was a gay character that was introduced into the traditional Archie comics. And
right, and Jim had been I guess he'd been reading this, I don't know, but he came in and he said, Jughead's a homosexual. And that's one of the characters.
That is a character from the comic, yeah.
And I said, I'm going to have to talk to you. And we went back to my office. I fired him before I got around the desk to sit down. I said, well, you know you're fired. And he said, why? I said, for starters... Jughead is not the character is not a homosexual. The homosexual character is Kevin. But for you to walk in to a building that I own, and you know I happen to be under the roof of the building that I own at the moment you come in to say that Jughead's a homosexual, you didn't expect anything other than to get fired, did you? And I'll never forget the look in his face. He looked like he was going to cry. He looked like he was going to cry.
877-876-PHIL. So these are the slings and arrows of being an employer. Here is Nancy. Nancy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, listening to us on WTKK in Boston. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm listening to you again.
Yes, ma'am.
Talk about
yes, ma'am.
Talking about firing people because they're Catholic and they support a certain candidate, and now that he's talking about firing somebody because he mentioned somebody's sexual orientation. I really think he has some issues with people expressing their opinion. They're not saying anything derogatory about the
issues. Well, that's like saying, are you saying that CNN has issues with a man expressing his opinion?
When that opinion is expressed in a situation that where it is derogatory, yes, it is different. You're firing people because they mentioned that.
Wait a minute, how is that derogatory? The guy, yes, he's broadcasting to my customers that he's a Catholic.
Was he being derogatory regarding it? My religion is the best religion in the world, and it's the only religion? He's not saying any of that.
You are infringing on people's rights per the Constitution
to be able to express freedom of speech.
Not under a roof that I pay for. You can't be serious. You're not saying you wouldn't be an employer worth working for. I pay better than
you
all of the rest. I have
an
benefits better.
Worth working for.
I challenge you to ask a bigoted man
who does not allow his employees to be the people that they are.
I challenge you to ask any of my employees what it's like to work for me, and I guarantee you that they will say to the person that they enjoy working for me.
Well, what about the guy that fired? Yeah. What about the Catholic guy?
Everyone knows that Catholics...
that they would be afraid to say anything in front of you.
Everyone knows that Catholics believe their religion is the only religion that's worth having. So when you say you're a Catholic...
Excuse me, I am...
Well, you know that...
And
well, you
I
know what you people
that
think.
My religion is the only religion that's on earth.
Well, then I think you need to listen to the Pope, because the Pope has said that Catholicism is the only one, and the rest of them are Catholic.
I embrace all people for what they believe in. If it's good and it's based on a religion.
What about the natives of Africa? Do you believe in their religion?
If they boil people in pots. That embraces goodness and hope, then I am all for whatever religion they believe in.
Well, yeah, and so what we're talking about, Ted, is you fired this guy.
I fired him strictly because he has no business in a work environment.
That is really bizarre.
Did I say that? No, I didn't say that. I said he said he was Catholic. And you got a phone. Listen to that, Bill. She's got the Pope. What is that, the Pope theme? What is that? You have on your phone the papist...
No, she doesn't. All right, Nancy, are you there?
We're answering a call.
All right.
I would just simply say in conclusion, Phil, that I've got nothing against Catholics. I, yes, have more Jewish customers than Catholic customers, but I happen to be in Beverly Hills. But I will say this. When a bartender of mine who is Hispanic, so looking at him you know he's Catholic, why would he have to broadcast that? For what reason?
Well, he was pointing out the church that he goes to, and the lady that asked him the question wanted to know what Catholic church do you go to.
No, she didn't. She didn't even go to church. She could care less about God until he talked to her. Next thing you know, she's going down to Mass the next day with him. And that's the part that you can't let go. You got to fire him then. You got to fire them.
I'm sorry, really. I'm glad I never worked for an employer like you.
Well, I'm glad you don't have to.
And I'm glad my father, who was in the restaurant business, was never an employer like you.
Well, then he didn't serve good food, is what you're saying. Oh, okay, great. He poisoned people? Is that what he did? He poisoned people?
I'm sorry.
He supported a family of eight. If he wasn't a restaurant like me, that means he served garbage.
Because he wasn't a five-star restaurant, he didn't have a good restaurant?
Well,
sir,
I don't. What was he serving? Some of the Irish food?
You really have a problem. Your ego is bigger than anything.
I've got something bigger than my ego.
Boy, that is uncalled for.
Oh, I'm kidding around.
Nancy, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
She didn't say goodbye. You might have hung up on her. And
I don't think that comment is quite gentlemanly.
Come on, will you? I'm talking about something that's very serious, and that is, what do you allow an employee to say? and I give my employees full leeway. The comment that I just made to that lady, she said, you got an ego as big as the world, right? And I said, I've got something bigger than that. I've said that to other females in my restaurant, my customers, and it is harmless. It is something that they laugh at. That's fine. But when you go so far as to come waltzing in and talking about a homosexual character in Archie, and you expect me not to fire you?
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here is Sonny in Houston. Go ahead, Sonny. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hello. I'm a restaurant owner here in Houston, and I totally agree with your guest there. It's freedom of speech, as the last caller said. You can talk about whatever you want. This is America. It's an America that he established his restaurant in. And I've had success with my employees talking with other people. They go to churches. The churches come in and patronize my my establishment, many of different churches. We have doctors and lawyers.
What kind of restaurant do you have, Sonny?
I own several taquerias right here in Houston, Texas. And,
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Several taquerias. Taqueria Arandes.
It's a Mexican restaurant.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay,
and,
I didn't know.
And we have no problem now. When an employee is talking to a guest or another employee about sexual things of that nature,
that's
different.
Exactly.
But when you say I got something bigger than that, I'm afraid that would be construed as sexual harassment. And if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself.
I said that.
That's correct. Yeah. And if you're not careful, you continue to do that, and you're going to find yourself in trouble.
Wait. I find this very interesting. I don't know whether you're stacking the calls tonight, Phil. Here's a man who owns a restaurant, and the first thing he finds fault with was something that I said? You're kidding, right? I own the restaurant.
No, but he's saying that what you said sounds patently offensive as opposed to someone saying they're Catholic.
I own the restaurant. The people there want me to say that. That woman wants me to talk about how... Well, I'm not going to... Do you understand? You say you own restaurants, right?
That's right.
What this guy Sanchez did is he talked about his employers as Jews that were making a big deal out of nothing and saying things you can't say. All right. When my employee comes in from the valet stand and says, did you hear that Kevin from the Archie Comics is a homosexual, which is complete stupidity, what am I supposed to do? Keep him employed there?
Well, couldn't you have said to him...
back and said the other character was homosexual. So you're just as well at fault when it comes to speaking of things of sexual nature within your own business.
What are we talking about?
I'm talking about that Archie comic. He said Jughead was a homosexual. I said, no, he wasn't. Kevin was. But he's got no business talking about Jughead being a homosexual. This gentleman, what are you saying, sir?
Where do you have business talking about the other character being a homosexual? You have no business talking about homosexuality at all in your place of work.
Again, we're talking about the owner of the restaurant, and you're telling me what to say in my own business. I wouldn't do that to you.
No, but the things you're saying, you wouldn't allow your own employees to say. When that other guy came in and said that Kevin was a Jughead or whatever it was.
He came in and he said, it just been announced in the news that Kevin was a homosexual, and this guy comes waltzing off of the valet stand with Jughead is a homosexual. You guys, you know what's funny to me? This cracks me up. This gentleman here is a restaurant owner, and he sounds like he's stunned, like he doesn't know what to say. I have plenty to say.
You don't respect the freedom of speech, regardless. You're in America.
What?
United States of America. You want me to say it louder?
Hold on for a minute. Can I walk into your house and say anything? No, I can't.
Sexual comments in your restaurant, you're going to find yourself in a lawsuit.
I don't know what sexual comment you're talking about.
When you said that. The lady said you got a big ego. Go ahead, Sonny.
You're talking about the other character being a homosexual, and you're talking about you having a big one. Those are totally uncalled for.
She said,
and you're way out of line.
he said to me, you got a big ego. I said, I got something bigger than that.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Well, it's unfortunate. What are we doing, sir? Are we writing a TV show, or do we have a restaurant to run? Sexual innuendo. I find it unfortunately that a gentleman that owns the same kind of business I do doesn't understand that you draw the line at certain things. A bartender yapping about his Catholicism, some guy talking about Jughead being, okay, I'll say it, a fag, and yet I'm the guy that gets singled out for saying I got something bigger than my ego.
Yeah, that's about what we're talking about, and that's the thing that is confusing all the people. Sonny, thank you so much for your call. We do have to take a break. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. As we talk about the Rick Sanchez situation, CNN has fired Rick Sanchez. And I'm going to play the cut for you when we come back that I found personally to be the most indictable, if you will. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. You fire an employee?
The hell are you looking at on TV, man?
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight, and all weekend long, the Porterhouse for two, and our desserts. You wouldn't believe our desserts, even when you're eating them.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And that, again, Phil, on Sunday we have our special desserts, you know, that Chef Williams brings out, and that's our tagline. You're not going to believe our desserts even as you're eating them. You won't believe them at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Look forward to that. Ted Bell joining us here as we talk about Rick Sanchez being fired from CNN. What are employees allowed to say? What are employees not allowed to say? And you were getting it. There's been a dispute. Obviously, the things that you don't allow your employees to say, there's a lot of people that dispute that.
Well, I don't know who I'm talking to. I talked to that one lady whose father had a failed restaurant, and I don't know, and forgive me for saying this, but I don't know that that is a very particularly strong position to be coming from when you're saying my father had a failed restaurant and here's how he did things. I've run this restaurant. It's going to be 30 years. In 3 years, Phil, we will celebrate the 30th year of me. Ted Bell running this restaurant after rescuing it from an alcoholic father. And I say that with the greatest of respect and love for my father, my late father, but he was a drunk. And I'll say it. Now, there's something that a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, I just said it. We do have freedom of speech. But you're not going to sit and say what one of our dishwashers said the other night. And we fired this young man not 3 days after he had gotten legal through an immigration attorney and a green card. I had to fire him. It was one of the saddest days of my life. But he's talking to someone, he's new to America, and he likes this TV show, and he said the word entourage. And boy, I said, I remember I was writing out, I was signing a bill, and I just threw the pen and the paper under the desk, and I just leaned on the desk looking at my shoes. And I felt like the lowest thing on earth. And I knew I'd have to fire the kid.
Because he said that his favorite show was Entourage.
Well, again, it's not the show. It's what you're saying. Something, you just don't say that. You just don't talk about that. You don't go near it. You don't go anywhere near it. It's like a leper colony. It's like a virus. It's like tuberculosis. Don't even go in there.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Let's talk to Bill. Bill, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Phil. Obviously,
yes, sir.
Mr. Bell is a supporter of your show. You air his commercials regularly.
I'm a
sponsor. So I understand to some degree why you tolerate his bigotry and his method of talking to people while on your show. I've heard him before.
I have no bigotry.
Oh, okay. Let's see, the definition of that is a person who obstinately or intolerably devoted to his or her own opinions and prejudices. And if that doesn't fit the bill, I don't know what does. You say people can't talk about TV shows, they can't talk about political candidates of the day, and yet you can make snide comments that would be understood by pretty much anyone, any place I've ever been, as being a sexual innuendo.
Well, it's fine for you to say that
because you own a restaurant as opposed to someone else who happens to be working there. I think you're full of it.
I had a kid say that Jughead was a homosexual. Okay? And you say I'm making the comments. Hey, I'm making
the comments. You're talking about somebody talking about a comic book character speaking to who?
I beg your pardon? No, this was a young man that works for me. He said Jughead, the comic book character, was a homosexual.
Right. And who was he telling this? Was he telling you?
He was saying it to me. Yeah, he was saying it to me.
He was saying
I had
that
to fire
you.
Him.
Okay.
I had to fire him, yes.
But yet you said that, no, it wasn't Jughead that was a homosexual. It's this other character in that comic series that was a homosexual. Why didn't
yes.
you fire yourself?
All right, let's back up. I said to this kid, he comes waltzing in. He says, did you hear about it? It's been in all the newspapers. Jughead is queer. I said, no, Archie is.
Phil Hendry.
I said, Archie.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It was not our intention to have that happen, and unfortunately for us, it did not work
this
out
woman,
well.
This woman was telling anybody that would listen that her son was terminally ill with leukemia.
Stay down!
We remember the steps to putting on the condom.
When you open it, don't...
Right. I felt this thrill going up my leg.
It's racist.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we'll go through the looking glass and beyond. And go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And wherever we are on a dial, that's where we are. We're also online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. What is that? That's the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show, where you go and you see live streaming video of the show right now. Hear live streaming audio of the show right now. You can get downloads. You can get our news feed. You can comment on our news feed. You get email response from Phil. It's all there with your backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. It is the single greatest website for any radio show anywhere in the world. As a matter of fact, PC World called our website one of the funniest on the World Wide Web. Check it out, philhendryshow.com. Movie theaters take a stand against texting. Joining us this hour, Jay Santos, our security advisor, but Jay does talk with us on a lot of issues having to do with police matters, security matters, public security, and so forth. And just, you know, sort of the interaction of the public with business. In Tempe, Arizona, there is a homegrown theater chain in Arizona called Harkins Theaters, and they have taken a stand against texting. When you enter the theater, you see the bright, attention-grabbing movie posters in the halls that have been replaced with black-and-white NTDM or no texting during movies posters. It's a very interesting prohibition, and as I say, joining us from the South Bay this evening is Jay Santos. Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're at a substation, Jay?
That is correct, Phil.
And what do you guys mean by a substation? You're a police, an auxiliary police?
We are a group of citizens who have gotten together to, we recognize there's a need for the police to be augmented, to be assisted, and to have some backup from a auxiliary force, and to that extent, that is the job that we are very, very happy to do.
Well, when you say a substation,
this is one of the substation we use right now, and it is the home of Subcommander Gleason. His wife and daughter have traveled for a weekend to use garage area.
Okay. Let's talk about this texting and in theater texting. You guys have encountered this.
And a lot of what you do, you say, is you do walking beats or walking patrols as an auxiliary force of malls?
That is correct. We've done quite a bit of auxiliary policing, citizens auxiliary police, or what we call our augmenting the auxiliary, where we will take two or three of our sub-commanders that will go into the mall areas. And if that is a mall that has a theater complex, we'll go into the theaters. And certainly when we look at people texting, we will tell them to stop. We have that right as a citizen's auxiliary police to say, would you please stop texting? If they do not stop, certainly we do then have a little bit of a situation. And, you know, I'll take it anywhere else. I like to say I'll take it anywhere you want to go with it. But for my money, it's got to stop. The theater owners want it to stop.
Why do they not like people texting?
In the movie theater, Phil?
In the theater, why are people not allowed to text?
The reason why they don't want anyone texting in the movie theater is because most of the time these are individuals who are communicating with people standing outside the theater. In that instance, they are texting to the individual outside the theater their displeasure with the film, or they will tell them the basic plot line of the film, or they will do something that will, through that communication, that will cause the individual outside to take their business away from the movie theater. And generally, it is done maliciously. It is done by a lot of young people who seem to get some enjoyment out of telling their friends outside, don't spend your money on this movie because it's, you know, it's not a good movie. And then the young people say, okay, well, let's go someplace else. And they take their business.
Well, is that not the right of an individual who is texting in a movie theater to do that?
It is not the right, no. The Citizens Auxiliary Police recognizes freedom of speech and freedom of all of the, you know, all the freedom that you want to have. That's wonderful. But I don't think, and I don't think you're going to find too many people who think the Constitution of the United States says that you have the freedom to basically, you know, I don't want to use, you know, bad language, but to, you know what, all over someone's business.
Yep. Well, when you say that someone is sitting in a movie theater and they're texting to people on the outside, the movie is no good, that is an expression of their personal opinion.
That is an expression of an opinion. Is it the fact? We don't know. We're not never going to know, because what that person's doing is an opinion, which may not be an opinion at all. It might be a malicious statement to simply send people away from the movie theater. And send people away from the movie theater because they are being malicious.
Now, yeah, but if I just want to say, so what do you do? If you see people texting, are you telling them to stop?
We are saying to them that, generally if it's a young person, we'll say to them, okay, we know what you're doing. You're saying the movie stinks. And because you're going to want to talk to young people on a level and using a language that they would use, Phil. So we'll say to a young person, you know, I know what you're doing, you know. You're talking about how the movies, you know, sucks butt, you know, or use whatever terms they use. And we know that you're saying that, even though, you know, the movie's obviously a good movie.
And when you say obviously a good movie, what were you watching?
I forget what it was. It was a good movie. It was something. It can be anything. I think it was Wall Street 2.
You think that's a youth movie?
Well, there were kids in there, and it was a good movie. It had Michael Douglas. In any event, the point is, these kids are texting to their friends, the movie stinks, go, you know, get out of here. And I found that out because we did grab one of the phones. And
when you grab a phone from someone, and we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we discuss whether it is a... You know, what's going on with texting in movie theaters? Jay and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, they're in there taking phones away from people that they see texting in a movie theater. And you say that they're using these to communicate that the film stinks to people outside. All right. But you take these phones away, and I'm wondering about your legal right to do that.
Well, no legal right to defend the movie theater. If the movie theater is saying they don't want people texting in the movie theater, and we do see someone in the movie theater who is texting to their friends, and they're saying, don't see this movie because it stinks, and they'll say a lot of malicious things. You know, it's sticky, the floor is sticky, and this kind of thing. We'll go ahead, we'll grab it, take a quick read of it, and we'll give it back outside. So that's all we want taken away. You know?
But you don't have the right to take that phone.
Well, Phil, we do if they're saying this movie stinks or this movie's no good. We do then have that right.
That's interesting.
It is interesting, but I would ask you, and I'd certainly ask your listeners and certainly ask anyone who's within the broadcast sphere or area, I'll do my job, you do your job, you know. All I'm asking you not to do is butt in and, you know, try to pretend like I'm doing my job, you do your job. You know,
well, I'm not butting in, but let me just say this. If I'm texting in a movie theater.
And the movie's on.
Well, you know, Phil, I'll tell you one thing about Phil Hendry. I keep my mouth shut and I watch the movie. I don't do any of that irritating crap that people do because it does piss me off. And I am the kind of guy that will say something to someone. And I'll probably one of these days wind up getting into some hellacious fight as the result of it. But I just do. I keep my mouth shut. I don't text. All right. But for whatever reason, if I was texting and you came over, what makes you think you're going to get the phone away from me?
Well, Mr. Renner, at that time I would ask you, may I have your phone? I do need to see if you're saying that this movie, stinks or stinks on wheels or however you put things. And at that time you do not want to give it to me, we use a citizen's auxiliary police. We call it our step three. Step three is basically three steps. I'll say to you, may I have your phone? You'll say to me, no. Step two is I cough. And this is just a diversionary tactic. I cough. You look at me because I cough, and I grab the phone. So
you're taking it away from me. You're stealing it.
No, I am not stealing it, sir. I'm giving it back to you.
As soon as you read my private communications on that text, on that phone.
Your private communication, one thing, sir. But when you are in the middle of a movie theater, what is being used by a personal business to have people come in and look at the movie, and you write down on your text, don't come into this movie, and you write some smart-ass comment, like I saw this young person write, it sucks, but, or, your mom, or some of this vile and vicious stuff, then I do have that time to go outside, say, if you come with me outside, you can have your phone and your dirty, and your dirty habits. And
I don't have any dirty habits, Mr. Santos.
I'm not even really. Are you saying that's what you do?
No, I'm not saying that's what I do. But I will say, if I am in a theater and I'm looking, I went to see a movie. I went to see 13 Days. You know this movie?
No, sir.
It was a movie with Kevin Costner. It was the lousiest piece of garbage I think I'd ever seen in my life. And I left within 15 minutes. Now, if I'd had a phone and I was texting, I would have said to somebody standing outside, "Don't waste your money on this turd." And you're saying I don't have the right to do that.
You're inside of a private. First of all, your texting is bothering other people. That's the number one thing.
How am I bothering other people?
By you texting, people sitting around you are aware of the fact that you think the movie is not good, and it makes them uncomfortable that they're sitting with someone who is all, talking about what a piece of crap the movie is, and it's offensive to them. It makes them look like they're stupid for spending their money. And I do not confiscate, Mr. Henry. I do not steal. I confiscate. I do not steal. I confiscate. And I take great exception to that.
All right, hold on for just a moment. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And they go into movie theaters, and will be in movie theaters this weekend, taking your cell phone from you if you're texting in the middle of the movie or during the movie. You do not have the right to text to somebody outside that the movie stinks, don't waste your money. You also don't have the right to be using your phone texting because it makes people around you uncomfortable that you are already passing judgment on a movie that they spent money on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Jay Santos and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in just a moment.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Stop that.
I don't know, Jay. We're back on the air.
Well, I was hoping that you would have produced something like that.
We're not going to produce anything like that just yet, Jay. I'm talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and what Jay was referring to was some produced open that he wants for his appearances on my show. We can talk about that at the end of the hour. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, as Mr. Sanis from the Citizens Auxiliary Police talks with us about texting in movie theaters. And the question here, if you don't mind, sir, is that I'm not entirely sure you have the right to take my phone from me.
I told you, Mr. Henry, we are not stealing. You're confiscating.
Right. And reading my private communications.
I am not reading your private communications, sir.
Are you not? Didn't you tell me that you're looking at the screen?
No, sir. What I told you, Mr. Henry, is I'm looking at the last communication that you're sending to your friends, and it says, as I've said, we've had teenagers and other people, we've even had young couples who are adults. Don't watch this movie. It sucks, but it sucks. You know, they use very crude terms. There's a movie theater owner who invested a great deal of money for promotion and for setting a theater up and however they do it. I don't know how they do it. And you're there telling people standing in line outside by texting to them the movie is a turd or however you say it. That is what I'm talking about.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here in Pennsylvania listening on WEEO. It's Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good morning. I'd like to ask this gentleman, is he contracted by the mall for security purposes?
We are a roving uniform citizens band.
Are you contracted by the mall? I work for a security agency at a mall, and we are under contract with the mall. And if something would happen inside this theater where a struggle became apparent, where you or somebody was injured, there would be a lot of liability there. Now, I'm wondering, do these people know that you're actually in these malls doing this?
Well, at that time, I could tell you, Joe, that if anything took place, I would take you aside and say, we are Citizens Auxiliary Police. We have it under control. If you could back up, we'll go ahead and take care of it.
But you're not answering my question. What if a struggle occurred
right.
Where you tried to take something and somebody fell over a chair and cut their head or you got hurt and the mall became liable for something you did? Now, would the mall be liable or would you?
We have certain techniques that we use, which I can assure you, no one's going to get hurt. We have three-step takedown.
That's not answering the question. That's not answering the gentleman's question. It's always possible that somebody's going to get hurt. Okay.
Well, the only person going to get hurt is if somebody tries to put his hands on me. Then I can guarantee they're going to get hurt.
Yeah, but it could be perceived that you've started the struggle by taking the phone away.
No, sir, I have not started any struggle. The person started the struggle by texting to their friends what a butt wipe movie this is, or however you want to put it.
But the struggle started because a stranger tried to take his phone away from him, right?
Well, sir, we are uniform. We have a...
Are you contracted? Are you contracted by the mall? You have to have a contract with the mall to work at the mall.
What do you mean by contracted? I'm not exactly sure I know what you mean. Are you saying did they...
Well, when a mall has a security company come in, they sign a contract with that security company. It could last for 2 to 4 to 6 years.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't need that.
They wanted them there.
Right, we don't need that, no.
You don't need that.
No, we don't, because we're not at the mall that long. We're only there as a roving security band, and then we're gone. I'm gone.
You're there for like 20 minutes, a half an hour?
Yeah, possibly. Depends on how many theaters that we have to go into.
And you know how long it takes for somebody to get injured in a struggle? 10, 15 seconds?
Well, here again, you're bringing up a situation which I'm sure has been a part of your experience, sir, but with my group, my Citizens Auxiliary Police, we don't hurt anybody that hurt us. All we want is look at a phone.
But what if the guy, this gentleman's making a good point. What if you go to take someone's phone and they don't give it up?
That's why we use the three-step. I cough, I've got that phone out of his hands, he doesn't know what happened.
And what if he lunges after the phone?
Lunges at the phone, I'm going to do what is called a swivel back. All right, I'm just backing up. I'm backing out of the theater. I look at the texts. If he's texting that the movie sucks, you know, and all that, then I tell the movie theater owner, and then I'm gone.
Okay,
the movie
theater. Merit there either, because we have never dealt with anybody in any of the theaters in any of the malls we worked at that had a problem with people texting in the theater. Now, I don't know where you're from or anything.
Well, sure. I'll tell you right now, sir, there's an article here in ABC News that says there's an Arizona theater chain called the Harkins Theater that's they're now eliminating texting. And the reason is because they don't need these kids texting in the theater, this movie sucks your, you know, blank, 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 and all that nonsense.
Well, okay, but still, there are outstanding questions that Joe asked. Are you contracted? What do you do if there's injury? You say there won't be any injury. You say that you're trained. What if he lunges? You do some backup, some you back out of the theater. If you see these texts that are critical of the film, you hand them over to the theater manager. And again, you haven't even begun to address the constitutional issue of freedom of speech. You're just telling us that you are going to take this phone and you'll have it out of the guy's hands before he knows it. This man asked a very good question about liability.
The only liability, sir, that is needed is that people who put their hands on me or my sub-commanders.
Well, okay, so you're some kind of a badass.
I'd say I'm a badass, you know.
Well, all right. Look, at Joe, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Move on here to another phone call. This is Nisha in... Oh, we got a break. Hold on, Nisha. Yeah, we do have to break. We got just a few seconds before we end the half hour. We have Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on with us as we discuss texting in movie theaters. It has gotten so troublesome, I guess, or irritating that one movie theater chain in Arizona has banned it. There may be others. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and his so-called sub-commanders have gone into movie theaters and have told people to stop texting. Because what people are doing is they're texting to their friends waiting in line outside how bad the movie is, and that infringes the rights of the theater owner. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Man put his hands on me, he's going to have problems.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're going to be out in force this weekend. There's going to be a lot of people at the movie theaters this weekend.
There certainly will be, Phil. Yes, absolutely.
There's a big movie coming out?
There's a very big film. It's going to be debut this weekend called Social Network. It's a Columbia Pictures film. Columbia Movies, Columbia Movie Picture, whatever they call it, has not been one of the big winners, you know. Columbia Pictures, to be honest with you, has been run like, well, losers, you know, like losers are running that. Now they got this movie called Social Network. It's about Facebook. There will be a lot of young people in line to see the film. We're going to have our hands full. We anticipate, you know, a level 4 in terms of deployment, and it most likely will be level 5 in terms of pith helmet. So we are going to...
All right, so there's going to be a lot of young people in line, and there's going to be a lot of young people in the movie theater. So there's going to be a lot of young people with cell phones.
You better believe it. You better believe it.
And so what are you going to do?
Well, Philly,
in other words, if you see those cell phones come out, you're going to have a lot of young people in the movie theater.
We're going to have a lot of young people. It depends on whether or not they want to see the movie, or do they want to text their friends outside what a turd. You know,
what if they're texting their friends that it's a good movie?
That is not likely.
Why?
If it's a good movie, you're going to be paying attention to it. You're not going to be texting, this movie is really good. You're going to be paying attention and watching it and being involved in it. But if you're texting, I don't even need to look at the phone. As soon as someone breaks out their cell phone, I know they're saying the movie dropped out of a cow's, you know, butt.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here on the line. We had Nisha on the line from Los Angeles. Okay, Nisha, thank you for hanging on.
Hello? Hi.
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, I just had a couple of quick comments.
Yes,
ma'am. To the gentleman who's talking about the phone issue. It appears to me that he's kind of causing provoking a situation, an unnecessary situation, because this could lead to, like, altercations, and then he's making assumptions that these people are texting people outside, which that's kind of ridiculous, because I don't know how often you just happen to be texting someone outside of the movie theater. And if you don't like the movie, you don't like the movie. It's your opinion, and that's how the world goes around. We tell people what we like and what we don't like. So what's wrong with telling someone?
Well, you're right, but there's also the following scenario where you're not allowed to say certain things in certain areas. I'm sure you're aware of that. For instance, the Supreme Court has ruled you can't yell fire.
How is texting someone even meet those requirements? How does texting someone even meet those requirements?
Well, I'll give an example. Last week, I took a cell phone out of a young man's hand, and this is what he had written about a movie called Wall Street 2. This movie, blank, 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 I can't even tell you the words, blank, my mother's blank, 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 your blank, blank.
Okay, however, so you wouldn't have, you filth. Would, however you would, sir, however you would not have known that had you not grabbed his personal property. So that's not your business. However he talks,
that's right.
His business, and that's for his parents to take care of, not yours. And no one else's. You, as a citizen, need to leave others alone. You're going to cause the situation, a bad situation, for no reason.
He was texting a young man outside. When we finally caught up with that young man,
It's irrelevant.
Guess where we found that young man? He was getting into his car, leaving.
So what?
He was leaving a theater that he was going to spend money in.
So what? People don't buy. Yes. So what? That happened.
What if you own that theater? What if you own that theater?
You know what?
I'm protecting you.
That happens. It happens. That's how word of mouth. That's why they say you take care of your first customer and you'll get a second customer.
Yeah. To me, that just doesn't sound right. I mean, for instance, if that's your movie theater. And you're allowing customers inside taking advantage of your product to drive customers away. I don't think you'd be in business very long.
Sir, they're not taking advantage of you. They're driving customers away. They're making an opinion. And it's up to that person to make the decision whether they want to go see it or not. You can't make that decision for them. So anyway, I just have to make my point.
I can tell you right now, if I sat down in a public toilet tonight and I came away with like syphilis, and you'd say, so what? Well, no, it's not so what.
What? All right, listen.
That was ridiculous and irrelevant. And half the comments.
No, it wasn't. No, ma'am. No, you said, so what, so what? Well, you're saying, so what, so what, so what? I'm saying, what if I sit down in a public toilet and I got gonorrhea on that? So what?
We're not talking about a toilet. We're not talking about syphilis. We're talking about texting. And that analogy
in a lot of ways
we are talking about
a kind of a gonorrhea of the movie theater business insofar as
let's use a different terminology.
Well, and I'm gonna go.
I don't know, but if the young man comes out of a movie theater, it's as if he's sending a gonorrhea virus.
All right, thank you very much for your call, ma'am. 877-876 Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry, I don't really appreciate you talking about me like I'm some weird, like I'm the freak, third wheel or something here,
Well, your analogy about gonorrhea in a public toilet.
No, I said. She said, so what, so what, so what?
Yeah, I heard her say that.
And so I'm saying, all right, so what, so what, so what? What if I. The point I'm trying to make is, what if something very serious happened to me in a very benign place? I'm sitting in a stall at a restaurant. I'm in a bathroom stall at a restaurant, and I come away with rectal cancer. So what? You're laughing at that?
I would not even deign to respond to that because I think it is the most outrageous comparison I ever heard in my life. Let's go to Wendy in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Wendy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, ma'am.
I just wanted to make a comment about the guy picking up people's phones and reading their last text message. I know he's probably going to be defensive about that, but I really think if he came up to me in this movie theater and took my phone from me, I would get irate, and he would probably be charged with criminal trespass because that's my personal property. And if a stranger came up and took it from me, he would have a fight on his hands. And he said there's no liability unless somebody puts their hands on him, which I would do because that's my phone that I pay for. And he's violating my my rights as a person. I would not do that to somebody
else.
Well,
ma'am, you know, it's not very likely, ma'am, that you're going to wrestle a phone away from me. I'm a man. You're a woman. I'm not saying you're not strong, and I'm not saying you're not experienced in defending yourself, but I'm a, you know, auxiliary police officer, and I'm just trying to protect the owner's rights in that movie theater, that you're not sitting there saying to your girlfriend outside, you know, that don't come in to see this dog because it's, you know. And
well, I understand what you're doing and what you're about, but the thing I don't understand is if I had this happen to, like, me or my friend, I definitely would say, you guys, don't go to so-and-so movie theater because they have people in there, you know, swarming around that are going to pick up your phone and see if you're texting about the movie. And I have Facebook page. I have MySpace. And if I don't like a movie or if I do like a movie, I'm going to tell my friends about it. Usually when I go to a movie, my friends aren't standing outside in line. You know, I'm not going to text them.
That's totally your right to go to Facebook and do, you know, we'd have to look into that. But
what do you mean you got to look into that?
Well, I don't know what she's doing on Facebook, you know.
You know, there's nothing for you to look into. There's nothing for you to look into if she's on Facebook.
Well, Mr. Henry, what if she's on Facebook saying, I saw this movie and someone ought to shoot the director? Okay, we've got ourselves a problem.
Oh, come on. You know,
what's wrong with me saying I don't like a movie on Facebook?
There's nothing wrong with saying that, but if you say the movie was so bad, someone should kill the director and put his body in, like, a, you know, a landfill.
Well, I understand that's illegal. Who would say that?
Who would say that?
Sure, I'm trying to talk to the lady. I'm hearing you for $12.
I would never say kill somebody. I would just say don't go to the movie. You're making it seem like people are evil.
Ma'am, I'm not saying
people are
evil.
They want to share.
If people were, let me just quote, I heard this on a movie there the other day. I heard this on a movie. If men were angels, we would not need governments. You know who said that?
Alexander Jefferson, huh? You mean Thomas Jefferson?
Thomas Jefferson. If men were angels, we would not need government. See, we need to have citizens auxiliary police. If you're sitting in a movie theater and you're texting to your girlfriend who's standing in line outside to see the same movie, don't even think about it, because this thing is like someone let up. I read this, and a woman wrote this, an elderly woman wrote this. This watching this movie is like smelling one of your father's farts. She was talking to her daughter. Can you believe that?
I can't believe
you're laughing.
Are these all text messages that your
these
company
are text messages? Yes.
Phones
no.
And read?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. These are. I read this last week.
You read an elderly woman wrote that.
That is exactly correct.
Okay.
All right. Well, even if she did, so what? She's talking to her daughter, who was what?
Her daughter's standing in line outside to watch the movie.
Why didn't she come with her mother?
I don't know. That's what they do. The mother goes in first.
Together?
I have no. The mother goes and watches it first and lets her know whether it's worth it.
The daughter.
Yeah.
Well, I call that being thrifty.
Is that right? So you work hard to put a film. So you make a movie. You work hard. You pay everybody. You go on location. You do whatever you have to do. You put the movie out, and someone says your movie is like smelling a fart.
Well, you know what? Have you ever heard of advertising by word of mouth is the best free advertising you can get?
Exactly. And when you say something like that, you've just driven another Hollywood director that much closer to a pill bottle.
Well, you know what?
Oh, boy.
I save lives every night. You know what? I do CPR on people. I work hard, and I work hard for my money. If I want to save my money by somebody telling me, hey, Wendy, don't go to this movie, thank you. Thank you for saving me that money.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you for saving me the money and driving another Hollywood director that much closer to a pill bottle.
Oh, come on, man. The average person, thank you, Wendy, the average consumer, this is not that individual's job to make sure. I better not say anything bad because the guy that created this might be so emotionally fragile, he'll kill himself. This is what you're telling me.
Bill, I confiscated a film last week that had this. This was a man, a doctor, a 45-year-old doctor who wrote, I'd rather eat a booger than sit through Nanny McPhee Returns. Now that's a man. That's a grown man.
Yeah, let's. All right, 877. So what, man? 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back and talk about your rights in a movie theater. Are you allowed to text what you want to in a movie theater to friends outside? Can you say the movie stinks? Can you say the movie is this, that, or something else? Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police says there's a problem with people ripping movies and texting this to their friends outside so they don't go to see the movie. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Still to come, the Dr. Green Thumb Report and our News Hour with Robert and Bud.
Phil
Henry. Talk about...
What? You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You did what?
We saw that today.
Tell my audience. We're with Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What did you see?
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm not about to come on your program here and be open up to more ridicule.
Well, you said you took a phone from who?
It was an elderly woman. She was probably in her 70s and was down here in Laguna Mall. And she was there watching a movie, and I took her phone, and it said something along the lines of, good for Rick Sanchez. And I said, I remember saying it, I should not have said it, but I said, well, you dirty old Jew hater. And it got ugly. And
did you give her phone back?
At that point, I did, yeah.
You dirty old boy. You got some kind of guts, man.
Mr. Henry, I was there. I just wanted to make sure she wasn't texting her granddaughter.
You said the granddaughter was, what, 10?
That's correct.
So the grandmother's in a movie. She's going to text her granddaughter that's 10 years old standing outside. And the grandmother was in there seeing what?
The grandmother was in there seeing, it wasn't Hangover, it was Hangover 2.
The grandmother is watching Hangover 2. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call. This is Carrie. Hi, Carrie. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Sure that's the movie.
I'm a licensed
Hi, Carrie. Go ahead.
Security guard. And I want to ask this gentleman, what gives him the legal right to approach my child or me or anyone in my family? Because in some states, 5 feet of personal space you invade, that is assault. And you can go to jail for that. So I want to ask this gentleman, does he seriously think that he has the right to do what he is doing to these people that are in the movie theater?
Well, as you know, Carrie, there are areas of law where one person's rights come into conflict with another. And that has to be worked out, obviously, by the court. Our immediate concern is, are they communicating something dirty? And at the movie theater, they got a movie that's, and they're trying to drive business away.
Let me tell you, I'm a licensed security guard. And which means I legally am allowed to.
What do you do if someone's texting something?
Number one is, listen to me. You have made yourself look like an idiot. Number one, you put your hands on my child or me in the movie theater and I am a female and I can take care of myself because I'm ex-military. So I'm going to tell you this. You put your hands on my child or anyone in my family, not only would you have consequences from my family, but also legally, because it sounds like to me that what you're doing is you're bored, so you're at the movie, and whether or not the movie has hired you out to do this for them or not, it sounds like you've taken it upon yourself to do this. So in actuality, you have no legal rights at all to approach anyone like that and to take the phone
from
an elderly lady. You've changed your story 10 times on the phone call, on the radio.
She was an old Jew hater, and...
Well, wait a second, man.
She's writing down, hey, Rick Sanchez, way to go, Rick.
You are making yourself sound
what do you say about...
ignorant.
I'm asking you, ma'am, what do you think of that, ma'am? I went up to that lady because I thought she was texting something filthy to her granddaughter. That would have been bad enough. Now I read...
psychic? I mean, do
no,
you
ma'am,
have,
but I do
you have EST or something that you know?
No, ma'am, no, but we had seen the old lady. We saw the old lady come in first. And she gave a series of hand signals to the kid. The kid stayed back. She goes in to watch the movie. Now she has the phone out. Okay, what does that mean? Hello? She's texting the kid, and I look, and it says, way to do it, Rick.
She's texting her 10-year-old granddaughter, way to do it, Rick Sanchez?
That's correct. Well, that's what I'm assuming.
Well, how do you know, man?
Oh, give me a break.
Excuse me, it was the biggest news story of the day.
This is an elderly woman in a movie theater who has been insulated from the news because she's in the movie theater. And she says, way to go, Rick, and you mean she's communicating to her 10-year-old daughter that Rick Sanchez, hey, big thumbs up.
You know, it's amazing for me to talk to you, Mr. Henry, and this lady, the naivete of the two of you. Wow.
I seriously don't even believe a thing that this gentleman is saying, because, number one, he's changed his story about three different times, about three different things that he's talked about.
You're calling me a liar. Then you're calling me a liar.
I'm not calling you one. You made yourself out to be one on the radio.
No, I don't think
so. I'm not calling you that. You have made yourself out to be that.
I haven't said one thing you could prove to be a lie.
You better take calls about where you're at, about how much personal space you can invade in someone before it becomes a legal matter.
Personal space, while that person's texting, this movie smells like a fart.
I can give you the name of some states that does pertain to, because it does.
Great.
5 feet of personal space is assault.
All right, thank you very much, Carrie. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Steve in Toronto, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
I just wanted to call this because I almost think this is ridiculous at this point. I think he's kind of a ringer in this case. I almost don't believe his story, but the whole idea that someone...
Hey, Jay, are you making this stuff up?
I beg your pardon?
Are you making all of this up?
Mr. Henry, I come on your program to tell you about what we're going to do tomorrow with one of the biggest movies debuting of the year. You asked me on, I didn't, and I'm telling you what we're doing with the movie theaters.
Because some of the stuff you're talking about with this old lady and the kid...
I'm just telling you what I observed.
But regardless of what you've heard, if there's no...
Observed.
Observed. There's no rhyme or reason that you have any right to break someone's constitutional rights or charter rights in Canada, for where I'm from, to get
the charter rights. Charter rights.
Yes.
What
to have free speech.
Charter rights.
That's our.
Just listen to the man. Listen to the man.
Now,
sir, I'm not saying you don't have free speech, but you do not have free speech in the United States, for instance, to yell fire at a crowded theater. You do not have that freedom. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. You aware of that?
That is a completely different story than me turning to my friend and saying, I don't like this movie. Or me texting a friend saying, you know, I know you were going to see the next showing. You shouldn't because this movie is garbage. That is my right.
With 2,000 kids outside, you say that? Good luck.
Oh, no, but you're the guy causing the riot, Jay.
No. The guy with the cell phone saying that the social network smells like a fart.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Do we remember the steps to putting on a condom?
You open it, don't you?
I think Jon Stewart's a bigot.
Jon Stewart's a bigot. Hold on.
It was not our intention to have that happen.
I was absolutely convinced of it until after he said...
Jews are good with money.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome. 877-876-PHIL.
I was absolutely convinced of it until after he said...
Jews are good with money.
That's what I meant to do. Anyway, welcome to the program here, our final hour, news hour with Bud Dickman and what's your name again?
My name's Robert.
Robert Leonard. Sorry, Robert. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can find live streaming video and live streaming audio of the show. You've got to get your backstage pass to have the full experience of this here show. That's philhenryshow.com. Also, on our website today, a very interesting article written by Margaret Gray. Thank you, Margaret, for the blog entry entitled, CNN Fires Rick Sanchez for Saying Something Interesting. So you'll want to read that.
You didn't think it was interesting?
What are you asking me for? She wrote it.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, though. The first thing the guy said, nobody cared about, and he got fired for it.
Well, we're going to talk about Rick Sanchez here in the next few minutes because it is a big media story, and Rick has been... He's a guy... We have people that we pay attention to on this show. We just have certain people that we just smother with attention. He's one of them. And Rick is a nice man, but one of the reasons why we paid attention to him is because, as we've often said on the show, Rick, God bless him, Rick is the kind of guy that they hire at CNN. He's a man who does an impression of a man with an opinion. He's a man who does an impression of a man with an opinion. He's like an actor playing a guy with an opinion. And I think that got him fired. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're not used to really giving an opinion, and then finally you're giving your opinion, it ain't coming out good, you know.
Yeah, all coming out all harsh and everything.
Exactly. He came out and said on this this radio show, on the radio show, he was on Pete Dominic's show on Sirius Satellite, a lot of stuff. Now, let me just tell you one thing so you guys know. He didn't get fired because he insulted Jon Stewart. The first casualty, as they say, of news is truth. The first casualty of any news story is the truth. And the truth is, he didn't get canned because he offended Jon Stewart. That does it, you're fired.
Yeah, but Jon Stewart's pretty powerful.
Oh, he ain't that powerfully going to get Rick Sanchez fired. Jon Stewart going to pick the phone up and call up the chairman of CNN and say, hey, I want this guy Sanchez. Every jackball wrote that because that grabs people's attention. That gets your attention. That got you, Mr. and Mrs. America, that got your attention. Rick Sanchez insulted Jon Stewart. He got fired. He didn't get fired for that, but they write that in the headline because that's going to be a lot sexier than saying Rick Sanchez fired for saying stuff about Jews, which is decidedly ugly, and it may not be in the pea brain of the people that run these news sites. That may not be as attractive a headline as Rick Sanchez fired for insulting Jon Stewart. He didn't get fired for that. I'll tell you what he got fired for. I'm going to play it for you. It's the very last clip of the three that we have. I'm going to play these three clips, and then I will point out to you the clip that, in my opinion, got Rick Sanchez fired. And he was fired today. And they mention even in this asinine Yahoo story, he called out Jon Stewart as a bigot. Who cares? He mocked Jon Stewart and he complained. Now we start to get into it a little bit more, that Jews like Stewart don't face discrimination. He also suggested that CNN and perhaps the media industry more broadly is run by Jews and elitists who look down on Hispanics like himself. But they headed it with Jon Stewart was called a bigot. But that's not what got him canned. Sanchez has not spoken out about the explosive interview Thursday on Stand Up with Pete Dominic on the radio show. The now former CNN star didn't just make a single impolite statement or impolitic statement, but spoke at length for roughly 20 minutes about Stewart in a media world he believes to be filled with elite Northeast liberals that consider Hispanic journalists second tier. All of that may be true, but when he started calling out his bosses at CNN, here is Rick Sanchez recounting an incident. Now, here is what I think is at the very crux of this thing. I think he was told by this guy. He said, well, not too long ago, I think this is what caused the whole thing. I think somebody recently said to Sanchez, I don't want you to be an anchor. I want you to be a reporter. And that's what pissed him off and got him rolling on this guy's show.
But deep down, when they look at a guy like me, they see a guy automatically who belongs in the second tier and not the top tier.
Because you're Cuban? American?
I had a guy who works here at CNN, who's a top brass, come to me one day and say, you know what? I don't want you anchoring anymore. I really don't see you as an anchor. I see you more as a reporter. I see you more as a John Quiñones, you know, the guy on ABC. That's what he told me. He told me he saw me as John Quiñones. Now, did he not realize that he was telling me, when I see you, I think of Hispanic reporters? Because in his mind, I can't be an anchor. An anchor's what you give the high-profile white guys, you know? So he knocks me down to that and compares me to that. And it happens all the time.
What about that other black, the black guy that he have?
Yeah, what about him?
Well, on CNN, Don Lemon.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. What are you talking about, Rick? They got an anchor. Don Lemon is black. I don't know who's the guy that does morning, that guy that irritates me.
Yeah, that guy Tony.
Tony, whatever the hell his name is. They got more anchors over there of color. Tony Harris. I can't stand him. Don Lemon's good, and there's a few other guys that are black. The greatest, in my opinion, the heir apparent to Walter Cronkite. You know, I don't know who that was? Bernard Shaw.
I don't know who that was.
No, you guys wouldn't know who that was because he was ahead of your time. Bernard Shaw was the CNN anchor. He was the face of CNN. He was African-American. He was fantastic. He had the voice of authority. He had the trust of the American people. He was Walter Damn Cronkite. And that comes along once in a lifetime. CNN has never been able to find his equal. Never. Now, I think they came close, and then he blew it. I think they came close with Lou Dobbs. And then Lou decided that he was going to be a, you know, opinion maker. And he decided to be Mr. Independent, and he stopped being a journalist in the mold of a Bernard Shaw or a Walter Cronkite or whoever you want to call. And Lou began to do that show that he did, and now he's doing a radio show. And Lou, you know, Lou Dobbs to me was the next credible face of CNN. But they decided, forget it. That's what CNN had. See, they had, and they had for many, many years that guy, that face, that person. That we would look at and say, oh, here's the guy, he knows, man, he is a reporter. So, like, when there was Cronkite, and then there was Bernard Shaw, and a lot of people look back on the days of maybe Max Robinson at ABC, and then you move past Bernard Shaw, and who have you got? Maybe, I don't know, maybe they could have turned Lou Dobbs into that guy, but that's something that CNN had, that Fox will never have, because Fox is more of an opinion machine as opposed to CNN. But CNN didn't do that, because CNN got thrown off by Fox. CNN got their minds got messed with by Fox. They forgot who and what they were. They forgot what they did. And now they decided that they'd take a little page of Fox over here, and they take a little page of MSNBC over there, and they'll try and do some a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And the next thing you know, they ain't none of that. All right, here's cut number two now. Rick Sanchez takes on Comedy Central host Jon Stewart, implying that the host is a bigot for surrounding himself with other,
Jews.
Jews.
I think Jon Stewart's a bigot. I think he looks...
Jon Stewart's a bigot. Hold on. Now we're going to get into it. Jon Stewart, my old boss, my friend.
Yeah, I think he's a bigot.
How is he a bigot?
I think he looks at the world through his mom,
Jew
who
eyes.
Was a school teacher, and his dad, who Jew was eyes. A physicist or something like that. Great. I'm so happy that he grew up in a suburban, middle-class New Jersey home with everything that you could ever imagine.
What group is he bigoted towards?
Everybody else who's not like him. Look at his show. I mean, what does he surround himself with?
Listen, he picks on Jews all the time. He's a Jew.
Yeah.
And another thing.
Jews are good with money.
All right. Now, here is... So that's all well and good. But here it is. Here's the killer. Here's the clincher. This is what sank this guy. This is why he got canned. Listen to this.
I just think it's important that people who are not minorities understand that those of us who are, and very few of us will say the things that I've just said, are actually more complex than they think
Stewart's,
we are, and we get
Stewart's
them.
A minority, as much as you are.
He come on. How
He's
is he
Jewish.
A minority? Yeah.
Rick.
Very powerless people.
Whoa.
But, such a minority. I mean, you know, please. What are you kidding?
He's You're telling me that
I'm telling you that everybody who runs CNN is a lot like Stewart. And a lot of people who run all the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority? Yeah.
That's it right there.
Yeah, saying that Jews are not oppressed minority.
It wasn't so much that, you know, look. This is always very and the longer we go in this country with our present generation, and we move on, and younger people are harder and harder pressed to understand what we're talking about. But the oppression of Jewish people is one that goes back thousands of years. That's number one. But for an educated broadcaster to say what Rick Sanchez said, I gotta say that was said out of anger. And it was said because they told him, you're not an anchor anymore. You're going to be a reporter. That's what that first cut meant, okay? See, I'm putting it all together for you here.
You're saying that guy came the other day and told him.
When Rick Sanchez said in that first cut, you know, this guy told me one time. Yeah, one time. That guy that probably happened this week.
Oh, you're saying that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think he was pissed off about. I think they gave him the word, you know what, we're going to move you to reporting, man. And we're going to take you off that anchor desk, and we're going to move you to reporting. Now, you know, I said during the pre-show, I said if CNN was doing things the way they should do things and did things the way they ought to, they'd go back to reporting, man. They'd go back to doing what they did best, which is put people on the street with a camera, with a story, with a microphone. Let's go, baby. Let's find out where it's at. Let's go, you know. And if Rick Sanchez were a little more broad-minded, he might have been able to see that. I can't judge the guy. It probably would have pissed me off, too, because it probably meant a pay cut. It was going to mean a pay cut.
Yeah, man, I mean, you're going to get fired.
I don't know if that's going to mean you're going to get fired, but I'll tell you, if they take you off the anchor desk and they give you a pay cut eventually, or they fire you to be a reporter, you know, your future doesn't look good either way, because they can't keep paying you anchor money for reporting. And more often than not, they're going to come to you and say, do you want to do this? They're not probably going to believe that you do. They'll probably wind up canning your ass. So he's pissed. He goes out to do an interview pissed. He goes into this guy's studio pissed. The guy gets into it, and they start talking, and nothing official has happened. Nobody has officially said Rick Sanchez is not an anchor anymore. No one has officially said that Rick Sanchez is going to be a reporter. So it's just something that's been brewing in Rick Sanchez's mind, and he sits down behind this microphone. This Pete Dominic guy starts in with the questions, and out it comes. Sanchez saying, you know, these lousy stinking, and then he just ended it with,
I heart Jews.
And then he, you know, that was it.
Yeah, he's going to be in big trouble, I'll tell you that.
No, he's just going to be out of a job. Not going to be in any big trouble. He's going to be out of a job. All right, so Rick Sanchez fired, and he hates Jews, and I don't know. But I will tell you that was about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. A man who calls himself a professional. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, man. Here's why it's stupid. Is it true? Well, let's ask ourselves, is it true? Is it a joke to consider Jewish people an oppressed minority? I personally don't. I know that some people would give me an argument. I don't. I think the people who would give me an argument might be people who would say, well, it used to be bad for Jews. I don't think it's that bad anymore. Well, you know, okay, fine. But I'm, you know, being a Roman Catholic Irish kid here and an American, when I ain't around Jewish folks and I'm just around a bunch of WASPs, I know how they talk. I know how they talk about black people. I know how they talk about Jews. So don't give me this bull crap about how it, you know, there's no attitude anymore, because there is. That's number one. But number two, whether or not he really believes that and whether or not it is in point of fact, a fact, he should never have uttered it publicly the way he did without knowing the consequences. He's got to be kidding if he thinks that he was going to get away with saying something like that. So I anticipate that Sanchez, unless he's completely stupid, is going to say whenever he breaks his silence on this, I knew that when I said that, I was dead. I knew it. I knew that when I said that, I was dead, but I had to say it because I really believe it. I will at least respect him that much. But if he says, wow, that's really hard. I'm going to tell you right now, man, the guy is brain dead. Just freaking brain dead.
Well, I don't know, man, but I'll tell you, he does more to make Mexicans look bad.
You know, what do you mean Mexicans? He's Cuban.
Yeah, but he does make them look stupid.
He's Cuban, and don't start in with me, okay? Pot possession in California will now be treated like a speeding ticket thanks to Arnold Schwarzenegger. We'll tell you what's going on in the world of weed with the Dr. Green Thumb Report. Check us out at philhendryshow.com, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I hate Jews.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, we have the Dr. Green Thumb Report still ahead on our show here. Phil Hendry in our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And we have a marijuana decriminalization bill that was signed by Arnold Schwarzenegger that I guess is pretty big news. Possessing up to an ounce of weed in California is now no more serious than getting a speeding ticket. which would mean it's a misdemeanor, right? A $100 fine, a maximum punishment of $100. It is now less. It's gone from a misdemeanor to an infraction. Even as a misdemeanor, possession of up to an ounce of weed was still punishable only by a $100 fine and no jail time. But offenders also faced arrest, a possible court appearance, and criminal record. A misdemeanor, you're going to get busted. An infraction, you get a ticket. And I was looking at some show the other day. Spousal abuse is an infraction, I guess, because they gave this guy a ticket.
No, are you talking about like when a Vegas cop show we seen?
Yeah,
that's for prostitution.
Well, I know they were giving tickets for prostitution.
Yeah, they give up ticket to a man that got a prostitute. They ain't gonna give no ticket to a man beat up a woman. You think they give a ticket to a man that?
You know what? You guys might be right.
Yeah, they can't do that. But they gave a ticket out of them guys who got it. The guy with prostitute.
Hold on, bud. God, you're slobbering on the microphone. Okay.
If I'm close enough. On a prostitute.
I know they give out tickets
they're not giving a ticket to a prostitute. They're not giving out a ticket to a prostitute. They're giving a ticket to a man.
I know that. I misspoke. They're giving tickets to the guys that were attempting to buy the prostitute.
Prostitute was a cop.
Well, that, yes. The prostitute was a cop. It was a sting. Okay. Nonetheless, Schwarzenegger said after signing Senate Bill 1449, he does not support decriminalization of marijuana, but the law would save the state courts money. In this time of drastic budget cuts, prosecutors, defense attorneys, law enforcement, and the courts cannot afford to expend limited resources prosecuting a crime that carries the same punishment as a traffic ticket. He's absolutely right about that. The bill authored by San Francisco Democrat Senator Mark Leno was supported by the Judicial Council of California, the official policymaking body of the court system, and the California DA Association. California's major police associations all opposed the legislation. I don't know why the police would oppose that legislation when it basically means that you're going to free your officers. See, maybe they oppose it because they feel that kind of open, brazen marijuana use or open brazen drug use encourages some other kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to fine them and get the same kind of money.
Well, it's a $100 fine regardless. And the courts are saying, however, they're cops, they're not DAs, they're not court people, so they know what they know. And they're on the street and they, the only way that weed's going to get legalized is if you get the police to sign off on it. That's the only way that weed ever gets legalized. The police have to sign off on it. That's the only way that's going to stick. Opponents said reducing possession to an infraction would discourage people cited for the offense from seeking state-funded drug treatment. Oh, come on, will you? It's marijuana. As provided for drug offenders under a... This is the possession of marijuana. This is something we've got to live with since 1936 because of some lying guy named Harry Anslinger and some report that wasn't true in the first place. So now we've got people still believing... Still, that it's a gateway drug. The governor signed the pot law as state voters prepared to weigh in on a closely watched ballot measure to legalize marijuana for recreational use, a measure that Schwarzenegger opposes. Of course he does, because the police oppose it, and he ain't about to go against. And I can't say as I blame him. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Green Thumb ahead. What if Radar Online is reporting true? Will we see a sex tape of Tiger Woods?
Phil Hendry.
I hope not.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
It's the Dr. Green Thumb Report here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Florida man denies drugs found in buttocks. They're not his.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
When sheriff's deputies allegedly discovered a bag of marijuana and coke between a man's buttocks, they say he gave a quick explanation, saying that he had recently married the cocaine. I'm kidding. Manatee County deputies say Raymond Stanley Roberts told them, "The white stuff is not mine, but the weed is." Oh, okay.
Ready to hit the highway.
Deputies stopped the 25-year-old Wednesday. Good thing, too, because he, yeah. Anyway, deputies stopped the 25-year-old on Wednesday in Bradenton for speeding. Officers say they smelled marijuana and searched him. Then they smelled his ass and, no, I'm kidding. That's when they allegedly found a bag of marijuana between Robert's buttocks cheeks. Officers then discovered another bag in there. The report says it contained 27 pieces of rock cocaine. The Bradenton Herald reports Roberts was arrested for drug possession and has bonded out of jail. The person who answered Friday at a telephone number listed for Roberts said it wasn't his.
I just like to say butt cheek.
Yeah, okay, Beavis. 10 pounds of marijuana found stashed in baby gift. Dateline Berrien County, Michigan. A Flint man was arrested on Monday after police say they stopped a vehicle with 10 pounds of marijuana hidden in a gift wrap box garnished with decorations for a baby girl. Rhoda Lake Township Police say an officer stopped the vehicle around 8 a.m. weaving between lanes on I-94, not a good sign, near the D.C. Cook Nuclear Plant overpass in Lake Township. After stopping the vehicle, the officer noticed the car was a rental, and none of the three occupants were listed on the rental manifest, nor did they know how they got inside the car. A passenger, 29-year-old Leroy Conway, was in the front passenger seat, and his father was driving the vehicle. Another family member was in the back seat. After obtaining consent to search the vehicle, an officer found a gift wrap package in the trunk of the car, along with three large party balloons that read, "It's a girl" and "Little Princess." When the officer asked the passenger... When the officer asked the passengers what was in the box, Conway stated that it was a gift for his daughter from his aunt in Illinois. Elmo, the department's canine, yay, was there and then led around the car and, quote, indicated, end quote. That's what they say when a dog smells, you know. Anyway, he indicated on the present in the trunk. The officer found marijuana inside the box, and Conway admitted it was his. The other family members of the car were not arrested. A cellular phone and $40 in cash was seized under the civil forfeiture statute. The car was impounded pending turning the vehicle over to the rental company. The marijuana has a street value of approximately $10,000. Conway was lodged in the Berrien County Jail on charges of possession of marijuana with the intent to deliver second offense. Loser. Yeah, it came from my aunt in Illinois. It's dope. Yeah. Dad stashes pot in son's Elmo pack. A Western Pennsylvania father will spend 6 months in 6 months to 2 years in jail after pleading guilty to hiding the marijuana stash in his son's Elmo backpack, which the boy mistakenly took to school with the drugs still in it. How do these people have kids? Yeah, I'm telling you, man, after a while, you really do want to license people to have kids. You can't be that stupid, can you? You can? All right. 33-year-old Ronald Washington, a real idiot of Uniontown, pled guilty to endangering the welfare of children and marijuana possession charges on Thursday. A Fayette County judge will sentence Washington next week to the time specified in the plea agreement. Police say this idiot called the school where his son attended kindergarten in April and told officials he needed to get something. Yeah, huh? From the Sesame Street-themed backpack. That prompted school officials to search the bag because the guy looks like some kind of a dope-smoking loser anyway, and they called police when they found more than 3 ounces of dope. I'm sure he calls them, "I need to get something." Search it. Well, you got a good reputation there, Dad. Texas mom busted after her 4-year-old peddles marijuana by the brick. 22-year-old mother from South Texas is in jail after her neighbors reported that her 4-year-old daughter was trying to sell a brick of weed. Maria Ipina of San Juan was charged with possession of a controlled substance after her arrest on Monday. San Juan Police Chief Juan Gonzalez told the Monitor of McAllen, McAllen's, that neighbors reported Ipina's daughter was going door-to-door on Saturday. "It's unbelievable," Gonzalez told the paper. "She was going door to door in the apartments and trying to sell the dope." Gonzalez said police went to Apina's apartment and found more than 200 grams of cocaine packaged for sale, but no weed. Gonzalez says the girl and her 6-month-old sibling were turned over to Apina's mother. They got the little 4-year-old who's going, "Do you want to buy some dope? Serious?" Unbelievable, man. Marijuana soda. Medicinal users now have smoke-free option. Thirsty? Why not open an ice-cold bottle of pot-infused root beer? Oh, this is old, man. They've had this stuff for years. They're just now reporting it? Oh, Time Magazine, no wonder. A new line of pot-infused beverages masquerading behind soda flares are now available to patients with a prescription for medical marijuana. Now, stuff's been out over 2 years, jackass. Made by Colorado-based Dixie Elixir. Are you kidding? They got more companies making more pot-flavored soda and more pot-flavored... They got pot-flavored... What?
How do you know?
I know. Anyway, made by Colorado-based Dixie Elixirs, the carbonated drinks are marketed to medicinal marijuana patients who wish to avoid weed culture stigma. The organic drinks come in 8 different flavors, including root beer, if you'll pardon the expression root, pink lemonade, or grape, and serve as alternatives to smoking the cannabis, which is legal for medicinal use by prescription in 14 states and used as an alternative to painkillers. No word yet on how much a case of drinkable marijuana will cost. Written by Allie. Where you been, Allie? They've had this stuff out for years. Years. And she's all of a sudden, oh, guess what? No word yet on how much it's going to cost. Every pot, and I don't use this stuff myself, but yes, I do know people who do. I do know people who have medicinal marijuana licenses and have doctor's prescriptions. They're not phony, okay? And I've seen suckers, man.
You're kidding me?
No, I've seen, you saw that one lollipop?
Yeah, they got lollipop and they got root beer and they got like brownies.
Well, brownies.
Everybody knows about the brownies that they have. By now they had lollipops and stuff.
They got candy, man. They got cannabis candy. They have cannabis lollipops, cannabis drinks. I've seen root beer. I've seen cherry drink. I've seen all of it. Yeah. And they have the pastries and all of that. I would, you know, I don't know if not, like I said, I don't use it, but I wouldn't dig the pastries so much as maybe the what do you call it? The drinks.
Yeah. We got like a soda drink and two, or what do you got?
What do you mean? Yeah, they...
What did you just say, man?
I didn't understand them either. What'd you say?
Do they to the soda?
Do they two to the soda?
No, did they two?
Are you high or something?
I'm kidding.
Get out of here. Did they two?
You're trying to pretend like you're having like a brain fart or something, man.
They've got all kinds of soda. They got... So they got it, all right? Never mind. All right, fine. The story that I loved in there was whoever sent the little kid going door to door. And then how about that father with the backpack? You know, it is amazing. It's the most important, perhaps the single most important thing you will ever do with your life if you have a kid. That's about as heavy as it gets. That's about as heavy as it gets. And it is a decision that is entered into by some people in the most trivial way. It is a decision entered into by some people in the worst possible way, with the worst possible people, and it's the biggest decision a human being could make. I'm going to have a child. I'm going to raise a child. And we enter into that decision. And so, you know, who says we're not free, man? We're free to do that. That's the biggest decision you can make, and we're free to make that decision and to send out into the world a reprobate, some scumbag that we're going to have to deal with down the line by way of the police or penal system.
What do you mean penal?
Yeah.
The prison system. Will you clean up your mind? The prison system. All right, the next story here that we've been teasing, if you'll pardon the expression, and it's ever so important. The porn star who claims she was Tiger Woods' 15th mistress says she has a 62-minute sex tape with the golfer, and she sold it in a deal she expects will earn her millions, according to Radar Online in its exclusive reporting. That's right. Devin James is the porn star. Her husband, Nick James, told Radar Online, "We made a deal with a DVD production company. We're going to sell the video online, and we get half the profits of all sales." All right, now, Nick, let me just ask you something. Who made this tape, man? And did you make it with Tiger's permission? Does Tiger know the tape exists? And did he know that you, Nick, would surface as a husband who is going to sell it?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? Well, let me just ask you a question. Tiger Woods, and I don't know if the law in this area is something that I'm entirely familiar with, but Tiger Woods, doesn't he have something to say about whether or not people see him butt-ass naked in a movie with a porn star?
He could probably sue about how how they're going to make money on him and everything.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, but if what if he gave him permission?
I can't, for $1 million, I can't imagine that Tiger Woods said, yeah, sure, go ahead, film me having sex with you, not a problem. And I damn sure can't believe in this or any other life, or on this or any other planet, that he said, yes, have your husband film us having sex, unless she's most recently married to this scumbag. I don't know. Adult film performer Devin James and her husband Nick flew from their Florida home to Los Angeles this week to meet with a major porn studio to discuss sale of the tape. But Nick says they got cold feet. They were scared of Tiger's lawyers. Ultimately, we found a different company and they gave us $350,000 down with projected sales of $5 million total once it's out. Does this guy sound like he's tightly wrapped or what?
How does he know, man? He don't even have an idea what's going to happen legally.
Exactly. He's got all this money. He's already going ding, 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 ding. He's just counting it all up there, man, in the cash register. And I just, you know, I don't want to, you know, rain on your parade there, Mr. James, but there is one guy by the name of Woods, if you pardon that expression, who may have something to say about it.
You're talking about Wood.
Yeah, is that right?
Oh, man, pretty fast the uptake, man.
I understood. I just didn't say anything.
Oh, you didn't say anything to be classy.
Right.
Then you did say something. Why?
Because it was good timing.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Johnny Carson. Nick said the website will be launched in a couple of weeks, and it will first feature a teaser for the tape. This guy's really laying it out there, this Nick James. He's laying out all the bread. He's telling them how much they're going to make. He's telling them how much they got down. He's telling them how much they figure, and then he says how they're going to roll it out. If you pre-book buying the tape, you get it on November the 15th. Otherwise, it comes out for sale on the 20th. If you pre-book buying the tape, huh?
Should I pre-book it?
No, unless you want it. I have no interest in it. If you pre-book, all right, as RadarOnline.com revealed, James, whose real name is Melinda Jeanette, claims she secretly held onto the tape that includes 37 minutes of her and Tiger having sex. It's going to be the bomb, Devin told RadarOnline.com, but skeptics, including her own mother, Sandra Brinkling, have doubted whether it even exists. Boy, I'll tell you, I would go with Mom on this one. This guy running his big, fat mouth. She's talking about what they're going to get, how much they're going to make, what's in the tape, what ain't in the tape, who, this, what, when. This guy's going to, he's got more money than God Almighty. He can hire the Prince of Darkness as his lawyer. He could hire Satan Incarnate as his lawyer. JC, maybe, even.
No.
JC, man, that might be a lot of money.
It really, do you think so?
Well.
Anyway, but skeptics, yeah, so they think she's full of crap. Brinlin, who is the mom, right? She's Sandra Brinlin, said, quote, my daughter is nothing but a pathological liar. There was no relationship with Tiger Woods, end of quote. James claims she was 19 working on a Christian charity project in Hawaii when she decided that she'd have sex with 16 different rugby players from Fiji. And I'm kidding. It was at a Christian charity project in Hawaii when she first hooked up with Tiger. She later reconnected with the, if you'll pardon the expression, philandering golfer when she was working as a hooker. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about career change.
Right. She just moved from, well, you know what? I was working for a charity, and now you're having sex for money. Yes, I am now having sex for money, but I may go back to the YMCA. She was later reconnected with a philandering golfer when she was working as a hooker and allegedly had a, quote, dirty, end quote, threesome, which earned her and another prostitute $2,000 each. James told RadarOnline.com she filmed the sex tape with Tiger in 2008. Radar Online has not seen the tape and cannot confirm if it exists at this time. When contacted by RadarOnline.com, the James attorney, Cal Affleck, not to be confused with his younger brother, Ben. I'm kidding. There's no relation.
That'd be funny if there was.
There's no relation. Cal Affleck, that's his. Cal was please, don't. I hope you don't wear one of them big cowboy hats. Cal Affleck was unavailable for comment. Well, what do you guys think?
I don't know, man. That guy's talking about how much money they're going to make and when you can get the tape and how much money they paid down and all this. And he ain't even talking about getting sued. I mean, that sounds like a joke to me.
It does sound like a joke. It sounds like the cat's just pushing a really, really sort of quasi-funny joke. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com. Check out the website after the show. We'll have a complete show log of what the hell happened on our character hours tonight. We had some goofy, oh, man, some real goofy stuff. U.S. scientists intentionally inflict Guatemalans with syphilis. You believe this? And there's a connection to the Tuskegee experiments. We'll get into that on the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our podcasts as well. So I'm glad we're ending the show on a you know, kind of a light note.
Yeah, that's great.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Time, man.
Who?
Did I die?
Welcome back to the show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. What are you talking about, Robert?
This guy that's on TV now, not only South African or whatever, how come he got like a guy getting a half-hour show?
This guy here? Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. What's he doing?
Hey, man, look at that, man. He's cooking up an omelet and all that.
I don't know who the guy is.
How come all them guys is from England?
That dude I don't think's from England. I think that guy is South African. Eggs. He says, gourmet egg. That guy?
Yeah, that guy. And then they put in the cheese and everything like that.
Yeah, well, what are you complaining about, man? Didn't you buy a bunch of those pans?
Yeah.
Are they good?
They are.
You must be in love with that guy.
That's what I think.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, you're sitting there all scoping out this cat. You bought a bunch of these stoneware pans.
I just wonder how the hell. Who is this guy?
I don't know, man, but, you know, he must, you know, why don't you start a fan club for him?
Yeah, you start a fan club for the guy. Get out of here.
All right, sit down. I don't know, man. Is it any good?
What?
That stoneware.
Yeah, I like it.
Looks pretty good. I don't know who the dude is, man. All these English guys now, man, that's what's going on now. Don't you know that? Ever since Billy Mays, God rest his soul, passed on, now they're sticking all these English guys in there.
How come? You think they're better or something?
I don't know. Americans like English guys. We like to listen to them spew their bullcrap.
Yeah, I guess a lot of bullcrap in an English accent don't sound so bad.
Exactly. They got that one guy, whatever the hell his name is, you know, Billy always said, and you know that guy?
Yeah, he thinks he's going to be Billy Mays. You better think about another, think about it another way.
You mean think again?
Yeah, man, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, think again, okay. Anyway, I wanted to go into this story, and maybe it's good that we don't have a whole lot of time. It's a pretty sick, twisted, despicable thing that the United States government has had to apologize to the Guatemalan people and their government for a 1940s STD study that infected Guatemalans with syphilis. It has connections possibly to the Tuskegee experiments. It is the Guatemalans want to bring it before the United Nations as a crime against humanity, and they should. And we got to just suck on this one, folks. We just got to suck on this one. You know, I don't give a damn. This is despicable. It was done at a time in the history of the world when there was a belief that there were certain people you could do things to. Now, as a matter of official U.S. government policy, no, it did not exist. It was an experiment that was condoned by the U.S. government at secret and very high levels, which makes it different from a policy of genocide. But nonetheless, it's a despicable thing, and the United States government and ultimately the American people need to answer for it. And I hope that we can without sounding like a bunch of whining little bitches like we usually sound every time Sony says something. I'm not talking about, you know, us being cited for stuff we didn't do. I'm talking about when something actually happened in our history that we need to stand up and own. And what do I hear half the time? Well, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what my people did it. I didn't own slaves. You know, we get screwed for a lot. People try to take advantage of us. I understand that. We're Americans. We get blamed for a lot of stuff we didn't do. I understand that. But when somebody points out something that we did do, let's just stand up and freaking own it for a change. Because this is low. And, you know, this is going to be dealt with in front of the UN. I don't want to see Ahmadinejad or any of them scum-sucking dogs taking advantage of it, however. You know.
But that guy that's got the stoneware,
Yeah, we'll put him in front. Get out of here. World famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wagon. And our associate producer screener was John Wyrick. And don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Sunday night, Phil at 6 with another 3 hours of great classic stuff on our website. Check it out.
Phil Henry.